Hey, everybody. You've reached the Mayfair Podcast. I'm Eric.
And this is Josh. We are recording our second podcast of the day, so it's way back in the past of April 13th.
Yes.
But you're out of town or something.
Yeah, so my sister-in-law with my nephew, I guess. That still feels weird when you're like, it's part of your wife's family, but still your nieces and nephews. And I'm like,
I still do that where I say Gwen's uncle and aunt. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's my uncle and aunt now.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are in those things. But yeah, so she's coming in. It's supposed to be some, I don't know, it's been this whole thing. But anyway. So she's coming in Thursday,
yeah.
And then we're going out to Perth for 4 days and kind of entertaining my nephew and other, I don't know, I think my nieces will be there, aka her nieces, you know, see, I'm getting better at this. So
yeah.
But yeah, so it's going to be a whole thing, but then we're coming back Sunday, but then it's like, I think we're picking her up at the airport, then dropping her off at the airport on the Sunday. So it's this whole like back and forth, and I was like, this is going to get complicated and we're not going to pull this off, so... Here's this on a different day, you know.
We changed our wardrobe just to make it feel like a new... You just noticed I had a toque on for
the whole day. He's now wearing a toque, even though he was throughout the whole podcast. But I was like, I kept looking at your shirt, you know, for some reason.
Yeah.
Also fun. You know, he's got a good wardrobe going on. I think it matches, actually.
I got my Mystery Science Theater shirt.
Yeah, so there's that, you know. So it's been however long since that last one. A week, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. It just seems like... Everything hits you at once. It's like all these crazy plans. It's like family, concerts, movies, I guess I should probably have said, because we're a theater.
It's a miracle that we pull off anything like this. Anybody who keeps their band going, keeps their podcast going, keeps their Dungeons & Dragons campaign going with their friends, it's impossible. It's so hard to get everything together. So even though we're a bit more in the past as we speak, we're going to be chatting about most of the stuff we have the week of Friday, April 26th. There'll be a couple things we don't know, but... As we said before, you can always go look at the website to find out new stuff because we sometimes program kind of last minute. But closer to us, we just had the eclipse this week.
Mm.
And
well, or 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, depending on your point of view.
You could be listening to this years from now.
It's true. Were you near the path of totality?
We had a good view. I know my uncle went out somewhere kind of far away to get a really good view of it.
Yeah.
But just from our balcony... We could see everything, which was really great because we thought, oh, we might have to walk somewhere if something's blocking it. But I swear, I didn't even think of it until the moment.
Yeah.
But we're watching it. We got our cool 3D glasses. It looks all cool.
I hope they weren't really 3D glasses.
Oh, no.
Josh, this is not the way to do this.
But I just noticed that many of our neighbors were out. I know our friends with kids. Kids were pulled from school.
Yeah.
People who were at work. Many workplaces were nice enough to be like, okay, everybody go look at it. It was quite the phenomenon. Right at the same time, we had a matinee. And I did not think of it until it was happening of going, is anybody going to show up to this?
Oh, man.
Barely anybody showed up. It was like 4 people. And in retrospect, I'm almost like, we should have just not had a matinee that day. And Lee was joking and being like, next time there's one of these, just cancel the day because... It's rare where there's something like that. And I think sometimes it happens in towns when, I don't know, your hockey team is in the Stanley Cup final, game 7, where everyone's focus is on something.
Yeah.
That used to be a lot of TV, but that never happens now, where you hear bizarre things like for the series finale of MASH.
Yeah.
There was like nobody out at restaurants, nobody going to movies. Everybody was sitting at home watching MASH.
Yeah.
And that really doesn't happen much anymore. So it was kind of neat. I would rather it hadn't killed our matinee, but...
Do you know what it was playing?
It was either Poor Things or American Fiction, because was the two new movies we had in rotation that week.
Oh, no, Poor Things can't catch a break.
Yeah, but but it was an interesting phenomenon, and I'm curious if that afternoon were malls empty, everybody just stayed at home.
Well, so I was working from home that day, conveniently, and then Emily got home at, I don't know, like 3:40 or something like that, you know? So it was like, we had plenty of time to pull it up. I don't remember what time it happened, but anyways, I had set an alarm because I'm not going to remember.
Yeah.
And so I like quickly showered beforehand, you know, like no one does. And, you know, then went out. So we were like all hyped to see it. We didn't get the glasses. I wasn't going to look because I'm just like, I already am on the inch of blindness as it is. I'm not going to take any risk. You know, I still need to be able to see a lot of crap before I die, you know, so, or at least can't see anymore. So anyways, we go out, and then it was like, honestly, it messed with my brain. Like, oh, yeah. I did not feel good while it was happening.
You're like, bedtime.
It unsettled me entirely. I couldn't even explain it. Like, it felt like I was having a stroke or something, like a brain stroke, if that's the thing, or maybe that is what a stroke is. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm not sure if it was just like,
I always imagine the good old days, not the good, I always imagine the not good old days where people must have thought it was the end.
Yeah.
There must have been a lot of people hurting their eyes.
Judge, people this day thought that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been on the internet, but there were a lot of, like, no one's saying religious types.
Yeah.
But maybe
yeah.
If someone said that, there were, luckily I didn't see a lot of this, but from what I heard, there were several, you know, it's the rapture, it's the this or that. I was like, you know, there have been eclipses before, yes?
You know, science has this figured out, right?
Yeah. So this isn't like, oh, we used to be so wild back in the day. It's like, no, this is still prevalent.
I hope there were fewer witches burned at this one, because I bet you that was a big excuse.
The witches are the most interesting people too. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I want to go visit Salem, Massachusetts, but I also feel kind of weird that it's a cartoony tourist trap revolving around a bunch of ladies getting killed.
And plus, like, isn't it essentially just like, weren't we a bunch of stinkers back in the day? So we're giving you tourism dollars to congratulate you for being, let me check my notes, monsters. Okay, yeah, that's so great.
Part of me would like to kind of go investigate that, but part of me's like...
You're like Encyclopedia Brown here. With your thing. So, were you one of the people who murdered those witches?
I got to figure it out.
He's cracked the case.
Spoiler alert, they weren't witches.
Yeah, it's like, wasn't this several hundred years ago? It's like, it's fine.
But I do know that, nonetheless, I think they actually shot some of Hocus Pocus there.
Oh, really?
Which is doubly weird, because it's a Disney movie about witches.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, actually.
Oh, I also heard they're making another Blair Witch. Did you hear that?
Yes, they're apparently rebooting it, or so they say. And for some reason, like, a lot of people were furious. And I'm like, no, first of all, you can't replicate the original, so who cares?
Yeah.
And second of all, I'm maybe not the best person to ask, because I really liked Blair Witch, the third movie.
Oh, me too.
Just called Blair Witch. I thought it was very good, and a really good, not even a reboot, I guess, because they do talk about the original movie, but essentially, like, just a different thing. But I liked that better than the original. I'm going to say it. I don't even care. Nobody can get me through the microphone, so I'm fine. But, like, just to say, you can't make another one of the original. It is what it is. It's always going to be there. It's always what it is. And I always say this every time there's a remake and people are like, the original's fine. You're just like, no one's touching the original. There's nothing happening to the original. So it's just like The Running Man. They just announced, not only are they doing The Running Man, but Edgar Wright is doing it. When Edgar Wright does a movie, he is the right man for the job. And it's not even a pun. It is. But so I'm like, you can't be mad about that. Secondarily, The Running Man, the book, is nothing like the Arnold movie.
And I know that movies are subjective, and I always am the first to be like, we all have our opinions.
Sure.
There's reasons why some film critics give something 4 out of 4 stars, and there's always somebody on Rotten Tomatoes who it's a 98% and they've given it 1 star.
Right.
But Edgar Wright has not made a bad movie.
No.
And not only has he not made a bad movie, he hasn't even made a so-so movie.
Yeah.
They're all really good.
Yeah, no. The only possible exception is that Baby Driver has Kevin Spacey in it, but that's not, you know. That's...
Oh, and if he would have cast that, like, 3 months later.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so close.
That's so there's that. So, I mean, but yeah, like, I don't love all of his movies, but I don't hate any of them.
And I'm a Stephen King geek from, I don't know, since I was way too young to read Stephen King.
Sure.
But if you've read Running Man, it's very different from the movie. I love the movie because it came out I was at the perfect age, and it's a big, campy action.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger pun
it's
movie.
In my top 10, like, literally. And not because it's an incredible movie, you know, by, like, in a Schindler's List-y type of way, but just it's so entertaining, like you said, like, it's so fun.
And I love the meta thing where they got the most popular daytime game show host of the time to be the evil game show host.
Yeah, and watching him on Hollywood Squares, or is it, no, Match Game, is so funny, because it's just, that is his own thing, because you're just like, oh my god, the, like, 70s Match Game stuff is just so bonkers. They're, like, smoking and popping off and just, like, it's just, you're like, this is wacky as hell. But having him, I usually just call him Running Man, even though he wasn't the Running Man.
Yeah, and the book, the Richard Bachman book, is amazingly still really relevant. And if the book is what, at least 40 years old so? Because it's a comment on kind of reality TV before there was reality TV.
Definitely.
If you would say that book was written by Stephen King now, you'd go, oh, it's him putting a dark Stephen King twist on The Amazing Race and on Survivor.
Yeah.
But he wrote it so long ago.
Absolutely. And it's almost like a rollerball-ish sort of.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's kind of funny. Like, first of all, if Edgar Wright wants to remake a movie, let him remake a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But second of all, it's just like, yeah, like, it's pretty telling if someone is like, oh, we don't need to remake it. We already have that movie. That's it. You know, it's pretty telling that you have no comprehension of the novel or what an adaptation is. Like, it's the same thing happened with It, you know, when they did that, because people were like, oh, the original is perfect. We don't need to remake it. And it's like, well, they're not remaking the PG-rated miniseries. They are making an adaptation of a novel. And yeah, some stuff will be similar, but like, there's stuff you couldn't show on PG, you know, TV.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that Running Man. Because if I remember the book, which I haven't read forever, it was more of him on the run.
Yeah. And he has a sick daughter, and that's what he's trying to raise money for.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he had a daughter in the original.
No. And it's people kind of can turn him in, and so he's trying to get from point A to point B.
And the longer that you don't get caught, the more money you make.
Yeah.
And the ending is just bonkers. Like, I don't know if... I almost think there's a certain building that a plane is flown into.
Right.
I kind of think they'll still keep the scene, but maybe change the building. Maybe not. I don't know. It's like, you're right. Like, I mean, I'm fascinated to see how this turns out, but oh my god, to me, I'm just like, you could remake this 100 times and I'd be 100 times happy, you know?
Well, it's like, anybody who complains about something before it's out is the same person who back in the day would have been like, oh, Frank Oz is making another Little Shop of Horrors. Oh, John Carpenter is making another The Thing.
Or The Blob, too.
The Blob,
the 88
yeah.
Blob, come on. They're just totally different takes. Or Invasion of the Body Snatchers. That's probably the best example. There's I think there's like 5 of them now, but they're all kind of different and of their time in a good way.
It's funny how Broadway seems to have a different take where people are more apt to like a reimagining or a different take on it, because you'll see new Shakespeare stuff remade all the time and kind of modern stuff remade, put onto the stage with different types of actors or a different surrounding.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is a reinterpretation. This is a different telling of the story.
Yeah.
No. And that's why I don't ever mind remakes, because it's like, some people don't like cover songs. And I always like that. Some of my favorite Ramon songs are their cover songs, because they're covers, but they still got that Ramon stamp on them.
Yeah. Same with the Beatles, actually.
Like, oh, yeah,
So many of their early stuff, like over half the album was covers, but they were like, those are the only versions most people know. Which is good and bad, I suppose. But like, as per Blair Witch, like, I'm just like, if anything, people should be excited for what they could do with that. Like, maybe it won't work,
sure. And is it Blumhouse?
I believe so, yeah. And so a lot of people, for some reason, there's a very big anti-Blumhouse and at times anti-James Wan sentiment online, which is kind of the part that's telling.
Yeah.
But sure, I haven't loved everything Blumhouse or literally any studio has ever put out. Like, you won't like everything, but... And I'm not even going to, I can't name everything, but you know, like The Invisible Man. I mean, that was great. Like, there's a bunch of Blumhouse movies where I was like, I very much enjoyed that. And, you know, who cares?
And I really like their kind of business model of keeping budgets low.
For sure.
Respecting the source material, doing stuff like Halloween that involves
good filmmakers involved, you know.
And like doing Halloween with John Carpenter and Jamie Lee Curtis giving their thumbs up to it.
But that's the thing. I liked Halloween Ends, and maybe that's where I think that's kind of what it is. There's specific Blumhouse ones that, I hate saying triggered, but that triggered people that were just like, oh, well, then everything they put out sucked. And you're just like, okay, well, now you're just going too far the other way.
I gotta say, I did not like the Blumhouse Bizarre Fantasy Island.
Oh, right. No, that's the thing. You know, they're not all hits.
And that's what I mean, though. But I cannot like something and go, that's fine.
Oh, I forgot that even existed.
It's really bad. But a movie like that, I almost appreciate. Like, they swung for the fences. They were like, we're going to take this weird 70s soap opera that is already kind of creepy and weird and make it into a weird horror movie.
For sure.
And it just... something didn't work.
And I think they did Five Nights at Freddy's, I think.
Which I haven't seen.
And I enjoyed it.
I'll see that eventually.
Like, I think you'll like it. Like, Matthew Lillard's really good in it, which I don't know. It's not a surprise to you, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But I like Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I liked it. And, like, I really like Willy's Wonderland, too. Like, obviously, Cage, you know.
I wonder if with Blair Witch, if they will go the route of making it, like, you know, have an actor from Blair Witch in this new one.
Yeah.
Or, because all three Blair Witches... Because the second one,
yes,
I appreciated, again, they swung for the fence, because wasn't it people in our world who watched the Blair Witch Project, thought it was fake, and then went to Blair Witch Town?
Basically, yeah, I believe that's what it was. And the thing too is, like, with that one, it got, the studio didn't know what they were doing. So
yeah,
like,
yeah.
In the time it came out, they were basically like, we're going to throw nu metal all over it and we're going to do quick cuts. And it was also that you're not showing horror quickly enough. So you have to put in a part, you know, near the beginning that's more horror because people are too dumb. And it was the dude who did those Paradise Lost documentaries. That's who made it.
Oh, weird.
And so like he had never, I believe he had never done like a straight
a movie
up film.
Movie, yeah, right, yeah,
exactly. And so he won all these awards and he's like one of the best known documentary filmmakers, the guy whose name I can't think of right now.
Yeah.
And so I was reading a lot about this and there is kind of, I guess, fan edits that are closer to his original vision. Because it seems like, from what I heard, you know, maybe it wouldn't have been perfect.
Yeah.
But the idea of it was to do it kind of like a documentary, like Paradise Lost, and have it just slowly kind of unfurl. And in that way, I think it actually, like, yes, that wouldn't have been a good sell to horror fans in 2000 or whatever it was. But it's kind of funny, like, they kind of just butchered. I want to say it was Miramax. I might be wrong on that.
That would make sense.
But yeah, like they butchered it. They put this out and shockingly it got just eviscerated, you know, much like the victims in the movie. And so like I watched a fan edit and because they originally wanted to open with, I think it was like Witchcraft by Frank Sinatra.
Okay, yeah.
Which obviously is very different from the nu metal track that it was Marilyn Manson is what they went with.
Like, yes, like, that also makes sense.
Disposable Teens. I don't, why do I know all this? And so it's just, it's so of its time in the worst way. Because
and all the
just,
actors, they wanted like attractive Scream 3 kind of actors.
Yeah, it just, it was a bad fit for the film. Like, I think it was absolutely one of those things where they were like, they had so many different pitches, different people, like they didn't know how to go with it. Then this guy came in, they were like, okay, this guy's got a pedigree. We're going to let him do what he wants, make the movie. And then they were like, I don't know about this movie. And then they cut it all out.
Yeah, that's interesting to think if he had gotten to do exactly what he wanted,
right,
it could have been a really cool fake documentary kind of movie.
Yeah, and I don't think it would have been a hit, but yeah. I think it would have been much better reviewed and it would have been a cult classic, which I suppose it is kind of.
I've only seen it once when it came out, so maybe we should look at it again.
And I have, like, I'll link you with the fan edit. It was actually, like, pretty, and still not great, but it was interesting to see what it might have been, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I will watch a new Blair Witch movie.
Absolutely. And the three so far have all been very different kind of takes and even filmmaking styles and stuff. So I'm like, absolutely, like, yes, if this was another $30,000 shot on, you know, high eight or whatever, you know, and it was like crap, absolutely, I'd be furious. But I think they could kind of do almost anything with this. And I don't know, I'm intrigued. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. I was listening to my favorite podcast, The Retroist.
Okay.
Doing an episode on Temple of Doom. Mm. And just a point that I'm fascinated by in comparison to now. So we were screening American Fiction and Poor Things.
Right.
As they were on Disney Plus and Amazon.
Yeah.
So that's the world we're in. By the time we get what is considered a second run movie, often the window is so small. And I remember people fighting about this years ago. I remember like they were really angry about one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies because it was like going,
just one?
It was going to Blu-ray too fast or something, you know? They were like, no, we want another month. They're like, no, we want to put it on Blu-ray because people will buy it for $30 or whatever. So Temple of Doom came out May 1984, and it came out on VHS for Christmas 1986.
Wow.
So that used to be the window of big screen to small screen for many films.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows you how different it is now. And it's very nice that people are still coming to movies that are on TV. I think not everyone has all the streaming services. Some people want to see stuff on the big screen, the same way that if your favorite band comes to town, you can stay home and listen to it or go see it. But just that little point fascinated me that it was that long before Temple of Doom hit video stores.
Well, yeah, it used to be like a year from the end of screenings, more or less.
Yeah.
And then I remember when it was 6 months.
Yeah.
And then I remember, because it just seemed like at different times of my life, when I was a kid, it was like a year. When I was working at HMV, it was like 6 months. And now it's like three. I mean, depending, sometimes, well, like if we're talking about just going to digital, that is. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes it's like a month now.
Oh, it's so fast. Yeah. Or you'll be watching a talk show and they'll say, this movie is now out in limited release and on video demand.
Yeah.
So it's simultaneous of an indie movie will be hitting both. I think that happened with us with, I don't know, the last Bill and Ted movie and some other stuff like that.
Well, it's interesting to see because that's what they did with Dune. like the original Dune, because that was like Denis Villeneuve was pushing hard for theatrical only, and they were like, we want to do day and date because you know, you never know. And so it did well, obviously enough to merit a sequel, but the sequel, which obviously was not day and date, it was like only in theaters, and wouldn't you know it, it made twice the amount of money. And so like, would it have, if it was only theatrical for the first one, who knows? Because like, people, I know for me, I was still definitely nervous about going to theaters that aren't the Mayfair at that time.
Well, and I think with Ghostbusters Afterlife was a specific example where it made a ton of money on video on demand and did really well with streaming. Mm-hmm. So even though the current film, I think, is doing okay, but I think it's so crazy to say only 90 million, but I think it cost only 90 million. And as we speak, is up to like 140.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, you would think that's disappointing. But if Frozen Empire comes out and all the people who didn't go see it on the big screen are paying whatever they pay for a video on demand for the first little while, and then it hits the streaming service and does really well, that still might instigate another sequel, because we're not in the world of only box office mattering.
Yeah, and it's funny, speaking of Dune, like, because they've been very cagey. Well, first it was like, are they going to do the second movie? Like, we'll see, because it was super expensive. Now it's like, are they going to do the third movie? And so they basically committed to the third one. But the thing is, Denis Villeneuve, let alone Chalamet, you know, like, they're almost like too popular and successful now.
So
it's like, people are saying like, we might not get Dune 3 for 5 years, which is like good in a way, because like, you don't want to rush something like that, especially like Denis Villeneuve, much like, you know, you were just saying, he hasn't missed yet, you know, like,
you got
a lot of these guys where they're just like hit after hit, whether that be like you know, something small like Incendies or something like that, or if it's like a big budget whatever. It's interesting when you're at the level of one of those types, or like when you drop your Oppenheimers and your Dark Knights and stuff, and you can just kind of do whatever you want, whenever you want, however long it takes you.
Yeah, it's interesting, it's such a different world now. But, okay, let us chat about the movies coming up the week of April 26th.
Speaking of different worlds.
Yeah, because we're doing back-to-back podcasts today, because we want to sneak in and watch a movie before work starts, so.
It's smart. You know, it's difficult. And plus, I still have to come to the cinema and Dawn of the Dead tonight, you know, which was 3 weeks ago, if you're listening to this now.
I don't know when it is.
I had a great time.
So, Ottawa premiere the week of April 26th is a very interesting new film called Omen. Not The Omen.
Okay, and not the first Omen, which is also in theaters, but not our theater.
This is a different Omen.
Which is supposed to be good. Weird.
This is about, after spending years in Belgium, a young Congolese man returns to his birthplace in Kinesha to confront intricacies of his family and culture.
Dang.
The trailer has comedic elements to it. Okay. It's a black man and his white girlfriend go back to a family event, I think a wedding or something.
Okay.
He has a nosebleed and a bit of blood hits the baby, and his sister freaks out because that's bad luck.
And also gross.
And gross, yeah. So I think the movie is partially his friends teasing him.
Okay.
And then partially him getting in all this trouble with members of his family.
Because he had a nosebleed?
Yeah. So it's like a look on modern religion and the family and everything. And that's why it's called Omen, because he was the bad omen.
Ah.
Because in the trailer, like, his sister super freaks out that happened. So that's what this movie's about. It won a bunch of awards in Philadelphia and Athens and other places.
I'm guessing that it doesn't turn into a, like, oh, the baby becomes infected and it's like a zombie baby, or
no, I don't think so.
That's more like my movie, I guess.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And then we continue on with our George Romero, Tom Savini month.
Oh yeah, let's go.
With a movie with both of them involved, Knight Riders.
Man, and even Savini co-stars.
Yeah, and this, I even found a really good picture for our website where it's baby Ed Harris and baby Tom Savini in their knight armor.
Their garb, as you
said. But it's so funny. Forever, I have not seen this movie. It's one of those weird ones, I just haven't seen it. So I'm going to see it now.
Never seen it?
Never seen it.
Okay, I got you.
I know about it, but in my youth, having just seen the poster, and it just wasn't around. It wasn't readily available on VHS. It wasn't on TV. It wasn't like Night of the Living Dead where it was everywhere.
No.
I thought it was an actual medieval times movie.
Yeah. Which it sort of is in a way, but
and
not.
And then seeing the poster, I thought it was like a Mad Max kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a guy, Ed Harris in armor.
Sure.
On a motorbike. But no, it's a movie about people cosplaying and doing sword and sorcery type stuff for a crowd.
So it's like medieval times, the restaurant. Essentially, because they're doing that sort of production or whatever, but like not in an arena. I believe it's just like on acts and stuff like that.
Yeah, you go to a park and it's like when you go to see a children's festival or
the
something
LARPing.
Like that. LARPing, that's the word I was trying to think of, yeah. It's a movie that all the critiques of it say it really is a lost gem from a career that everyone knows Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead and Creepshow. And
they should know Martin. That's a good one.
Martin, yeah. But they say this is a movie that, like myself, is a movie that a lot of fans haven't seen.
Yeah, I've seen it once. I was a teenager, and or barely. I might not even have been a teenager. And like, I found it kind of boring because, yeah, I think I thought the same as you, that it was going to be some medieval battle them up. You know, like, it's not for kids, this movie. Like, not that it's violent, because I think it's PG. Like, I don't even think
much happens. Yeah, but it's just a drama about a bunch of LARPers.
Yeah, and it's basically, I think the main sort of thing of the movie is just kind of like, Ed Harris is trying to keep the band together, and everyone's kind of like, why are we doing this? You know, not enough people care and we're not successful enough, so why should we bother to put our energy into it? I believe.
Yeah.
And so it's much more like, it's really a drama, if anything, you know. And so it's, yeah. And hilariously enough, like, I mean, it is like at least two hours, maybe longer.
I think it's longer, yeah.
And so the thing is, like, they found an extended version of this after George A. Romero passed in its archives.
Oh,
and so supposedly there's like an extra 20, 25 minutes of footage. And I'm not sure if it's, maybe it was just stuff that was rightly cut or whatever. But it is funny. I always find it amusing whenever there's something like this that's already a long movie. And they're like, but don't you want the 3 hours? Cut? And I was like, dog, I don't know if I can stay awake for all that.
And especially that he's not around anymore. Yeah. It could be that he was like, no, guys, I took that out for a reason.
Yeah, the lens cap was on. What are you doing?
I'm in the shot. The boom's all over the place.
Yeah, but all of that said, if they did ever put that out, 100% I would watch that.
Because
it's Romero and, you know, it's a curio.
Then, returning for its fourth month is Big Shark.
Oh.
Which you have to come see.
I am 100% this time coming to this one. And it's back-to-back with cinema?
It's
back to back with something cool, I feel like.
26. Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, yes, correct. Yes. I don't have it listed there yet because it would look weird on the timeline from when we are sitting in earlier April.
People get confused.
But yeah, so this week you have to come see it.
Yeah.
Because it's Big Shark in the 9 o'clock time slot.
Okay.
Followed by the Late Late Show of cinema.
That's a pretty good, that's back-to-back months where I'm seeing like Dawn of the, I'm not going to put Dawn of the Dead on the level of Big Shark
or
vice versa of that. But yeah, personally, like, I love it when there's a fun movie before cinema. Because it's like, it's so fun. Like these old-timey double bills.
It did really well the first time, but Greg was here. Then it dipped down in the second month, went up in the third month.
Oh.
So we'll see now. It's like watching the stock market. So if it went from, the first month almost doesn't count.
Yeah.
Because Greg was here. So then if it went down to 50 people, and then the third month went up to 80 people.
Yeah.
So we'll see because, you know, we're a business. It's like anything else. Like, Tommy would like us to play this once a month forever.
For sure.
But you never know. And if month 6 and 7 go down to 10 people, you're kind of like, well.
Yeah, because I think you were saying at the very least you're hoping for 6, see how it goes kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But even if nobody comes on the 5th month, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, we'll see. I mean, because I'm not paying to see it, so obviously I'm not helping the audience numbers all that much. But. Yeah.
But it, I think it has a shot. Like, it really does seem to have fans. It really has people excited when...
They're called fins, by the way.
Oh, dude.
Get it right.
They wear the fins, and people are like, take off your
fins. They're like, can you at least, like, lean down a little bit? I can't do this.
I'm curious because Lee said that when he visited Tommy when he was in L.A. for Enter the Drag Dragon...
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That Tommy said that he wants to make a movie a year. Which would be crazy because there's a 20-year gap between The Room and Big Shark. And he had acted in other things in between there. But if he pulls off another movie, that would have to be this year.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
It also seems like for his business model, that's not the best idea. Doesn't he just milk this for like 2 years before starting to think about a movie?
Yeah, because he did such a great job with The Room. The Room screened for 20 years over and over again, selling merch and him doing personal appearances and all that stuff. So you can't have too many movies because say he has another movie and we're trying to play that once a month. We're going to run out of space.
He really needs to make a super serious documentary or like an Oscar-type film. Like, how hilarious would that be if his third movie is just incredible? And you're like, wow, nobody saw that coming. He has I was going to say power. I mean, I know. He has the money. We'll say that.
Yeah.
He could, you know, but I'm very interested to see what his third film, if it ever exists, ends up being.
God, yeah, who knows? But yeah, so Big Shark is hanging in there for the fourth month. So come to see that this time and stick around for cinema.
Absolutely. It's going to be good.
And yeah, good thing you remembered cinema. I would have forgot to mention that.
I only remembered it because I was like, oh, thank God that this all worked out and I'll be able to come. You know, it just feels like a bonus when I'm able to come for two movies and I could just stick around and fall asleep here.
Yeah. So then I will just quickly mention three rentals that we have in.
Oh, yeah.
One is a movie called Radioactive, The Women of 3 Mile Island.
Oh, wow. That title, wow.
It's probably not a laugh riot.
No, I was going to say, at first that sounded like it was going to be like, eh, and then he was like, oh, wow, that sounds like
it looks cooler. So the log line is, in this thrilling documentary, women fight back against the nuclear industry to expose one of the biggest cover-ups in U.S. history.
Okay, now I'm back. So it's more Aaron Brockovich-y than I was afraid of.
Reveals never-before-told stories of four intrepid homemakers who take their case all the way to the Supreme Court.
Oh, sick.
And a young female journalist who's caught in the radioactive crossfire.
Oh, my God.
This sounds awesome.
Yeah, you should have just opened with that, because I thought it was going to be a lot more like, we've sad all got cancer talking. And we're dying in a week, and... Yeah, which is fine too. Like, no shame in any of that. But like, oh, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, so that's one of the special events. The other one is, if not locally produced, I think at least Ontario. But so it's a premiere of an independent film called The Liberation Men.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's this. I'm in a couple of Facebook groups for Ottawa filmmakers. They were talking about this.
So is it Ottawa?
It is. Yeah, it here. Yeah.
So it's ambitious for an independent film. It's. One man must save a town in Holland. In late World War II, Canadian soldiers fight against occupying German army and a race against the clock to save the town.
Dang.
That seems ambitious for a little movie.
That's the thing. Like, I always wonder about this. And I'm like, you know, with all due respect, I mean, for me, even if it ends up being a bad movie, I will enjoy it. So it's like, you know, and I don't think this will be a bad movie. Like, this is definitely no shade whatsoever. But, you know, I'm like... The one way, either it ends up being, like, shockingly great and everything falls into place, or if it's a train wreck, I will enjoy that, too. Like, there's nothing wrong with any of that. But it's going to be great. I can already tell, like, you know.
Yeah, making movies is hard. And it's always admirable to get something like that.
That's the whole other level of that. But, yeah, I mean, we've talked about that before, you know, where it's, like, it's difficult to get anything made, let alone, like, a period piece war film.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, props for even pulling this off.
And then on April 28th at 3 p.m., the Student Short Film Festival presented by Ottawa U Cinema Club.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's a bunch of short student films. This is always fun because there really is this great heartwarming buzz of students seeing their stuff on the big screen. Makes me feel like a big shot, you know?
Absolutely.
And everybody's teachers and moms and dads and everyone will be there. So these are always fun events. It's open to the public, so you can come check it out. Maybe you'll see a bunch of cool student films of people who might go on to do other stuff in the future.
That's sweet. Is there a different charge for that festival?
Yeah, so they're just... I always tell people they should charge more. Okay. Tickets are $8.
Oh, that's not bad.
And so that's like, you're basically paying membership price.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so come check that out.
That's cool. You're going to get to see a bunch of cool, like, future, I don't know, Tarantino's too easy. Future Tommy Wiseau's. Yeah. It's like, oh, no, that's the other end of the spectrum.
You went too far the other way.
Oh, God. Future Edgar Wright's.
Yeah, that's perfect. There you go.
Yeah, perfect.
So that's what we know about for the week of April 26. There will be probably two newer films in there. Who knows? Last times we did this, we forgot to mention The Taste of Things and One Life. Not that we forgot, but they weren't booked yet.
That's true.
So there'll be a couple other cool second-run movies or Ottawa premiere booked in that time slot. But you can always check mayfairtheater.ca for all the showtimes. And we're going to wrap things up now and go watch a movie.
Huzzah.
So thanks for listening, everybody. As said, go to mayfairtheater.ca and go check out all our social media. And we'll see you next time at the Mayfair Theater Podcast. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Oh, I'm excited to find out that Lee secretly booked the Cage Arcadian film.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that might have happened. This has been 3 weeks now.
The knight is a fighting machine, disciplined in mind and heart, noble to the death. Knight Riders. They ride for the crown. They fight for honor. Following a dream as far as it will take them. Because a legend lives as long as someone believes. Knight Riders. Camelot is a state of mind. Knight Riders. Rated R.